All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And before we go there, I want to thank Chris from Sun Prairie and Wisconsin Grassroots Festival for inviting me down to Mazelmania on this past Saturday. Had a great time, met a lot of great people. Hadn't been there since 2019. It was good to get back and see a lot of friendly faces. Really enjoyed, breaking bread with the people from Mazelmania, and look forward to doing it again. Anyway, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, it's a lot going on in the world today. So
yeah, it really is, man. And we got a lot to talk about, but we need to get at this one right away, and then we'll got a lot of stuff to talk about. So Donald Trump, is saying that it's imminent that he's going to be arrested, and to that end, he's telling his minions,
take to the streets, take the country back. You know, well, it's a call to arms. I mean, you know, the thing is, those kind of words gives him sort of deniability, but, you know, because it's plausible deniability. And however, he clearly is asking his people to take to the streets, and he knows that in the past when that's happened, it's kind of an uncontrolled mayhem. And so, you know, we haven't learned our lesson, and apparently he hasn't learned a lesson either. But, you know, at least McCarthy and people on his side of the aisle are saying, hey, wait, you know, we're looking for peace. We're not looking for mob violence in the name of politics. And however, he is. And clearly what he did by announcing the fact that he might get arrested on Tuesday when it hasn't been announced is that he wants to take control of the situation and use it. And I think that there are those who are adamant about trying to not get him elected, people like Chris Christie and people who don't want him to get elected, who do, however, portend that this particular indictment on this particular matter, this hush money payment to a porn star, is kind of the worst way to start out a criminal process against Donald Trump. Because, you know, in my mind, even I have trouble figuring out what the crime. I mean, it's certainly scandalous, but I have trouble understanding what the crime was associated with the payment of dollars
wasn't
to her.
Wasn't it similar to what was this guy's name? He was for all the world, and maybe 10 years, a little bit more ago, he looked like he was going to be a star Democrat. He was running for president, and he got upended by a situation he had with a woman, and he wound up losing everything.
Well,
I forgot the guy's name.
You're talking about the senator from Colorado who
was
running for.
This guy was maybe, I don't know, maybe it's been 20 years.
Well,
now,
here's my problem. I think there is a technical, obviously there is a technical crime involved. It might have been that
he used money
from a source that was not entitled to be used. He used cash to cover up the trail of the fact that he was using probably campaign money to pay
campaign money.
So, I mean, that's a crime. I understand all that, but there are those who say, look, this better lead to a conviction, because if it doesn't lead to a conviction, it's going to lead to his reelection, because those who back Donald Trump and those who are willing to walk away from him will believe then his story that it's all political witch hunts and they're after him.
So it's not a federal crime. This is a state crime.
This is a state crime he's being pursued for, and so my point only is that I wish that the most serious crimes were the ones that he was, you know, the January 6th crimes would be the ones that he would be charged with first, or at least that he get charged with them quickly so that they're also out there along with this particular one, if he's going to get charged with it. But look, the crime here is calling for public violence, essentially, to protest what is a private matter for him, either criminal or civil. And so you know, that's my problem with the whole weekend.
So the man clearly has some psychological challenges because his response was on True Social. Can you imagine the great, all in capital letters, can you imagine the great New York City Police Department, correctly referred to as New York City's finest, who for the first and only time in history endorsed a president, me, and honored me as a man of the year, having to defend and protect the defunders and cop haters of the radical left that want to put their greatest champion and friend in prison for a crime that doesn't exist. That's a man who needs some help.
Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, this is all part of his, you know, the guy is shrewd. He knows just how to play the public. That's all he's doing with this. Here is this billionaire who's screwed everyone in the world. I don't mean that anatomically. I mean that financially. Everyone in the world, and yet he plays the victim. And people buy it. You know, all of his supporters believe that he is a victim because he gets chased after and pursued for the actual things that he does that are criminal or quasi-criminal, or he gets accused of cheating in the world of business, something he does regularly. But he's a victim for getting called out on it. It's standard narcissistic gaslighting. This is what, if you went to a psychiatrist and said, how do narcissists behave when they get accused of something? They accuse their accuser of exactly what it is they do.
So what's amazing to me, Sandy, is I found out that, let's say he got charged with a felony, which he can't get charged with here. Let's say he got charged with a felony. You can have a felony and run for president of the United States. But a felony can prevent you from getting a job.
Or in some states from voting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me how that makes sense.
Well, I don't know. Well, I guess it's because you can't get an ordinary job if you're a felon, but you can get the presidency because that's not an ordinary job.
Well, we're going to move on from that. But I just thought that was just mind-boggling to me.
Well, I just wish the public would wake up and turn their back on someone. You know, whether or not this is the kind of crime that he should be getting charged with, at least out of the blocks as the first crime. You know, that we don't have an organized criminal system, and so that's what's good about us, right? We have a DA in New York State who can do what it is that New York State does, and we also have U.S. attorneys who will do what they will do, and we don't have a coordinated from the top criminal process, and no one is telling this DA in New York what to do.
You know, Sandy, we're going to talk about the banking industry, you know, in a few minutes, because with all the things going on, that now has supplanted almost everything else with what could possibly be on the docket. So clearly we have to talk about that. But I wanted to, the 20-year anniversary of our invasion of Iraq, and Sandy, it's been 20 years. I remember it like yesterday, shock and awe, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And shock and awe, there we were watching on TV the United States dropping bombs and administering on purpose what they prefer to call collateral damage, because those bombs were not just hitting military targets. Those bombs were destroying Baghdad on TV. We watched it.
Right. And it's why, when we hear people say we need to control history, no, we don't. Because if somebody had it their way, they'd do away with this history. Because what took place in Iraq should have never happened. And only after we found out later on that it was all lies, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis were killed, And even to this day, there are people born with maladies.
Well, I mean, you know, Iraq, we've had a series of situations that we can't explain well. We can't explain Vietnam well. We can't explain the 18 years after we solved the Al-Qaeda problem in Afghanistan. We stayed for 18 years after that.
We're still there.
We're still there. We still have troops in Iraq, actually, trying to train an Iraqi set of troops that work for a government that is dysfunctional. We've left a mess in every place. Yeah, the only country that's come back from it is the one we worked hardest at destroying, which was Vietnam. And Vietnam is thriving economically, but when you travel there, you see lots of disfigured people who were born with the genetic present that Agent Orange gave them, based on our decision to defoliate the country of Vietnam, dropping carcinogenic Agent Orange.
You know, not to worry, we still have military installation bases in Iraq, and because we want to make it clear, we're worried about Al Qaeda. What? Who?
Well, not only...
When is the last time you heard anything mentioned ISIS and Al-Qaeda?
One of the ironic twists with respect to Iraq was that the vacuum we created in Iraq by essentially destroying the Saddam Hussein government but not being able to replace it with anything else that worked is that ISIS, which has become a far bigger plague in the Mideast than Al-Qaeda was, ISIS stepped into that vacuum and used Iraq as, ISIS of Iraq became a very, very vibrant and effective negative political and terroristic force. And it was really laid at our feet. We created the situation that created ISIS of Iraq.
Now, people may ask, why are we talking about that? I think it's germane when we're talking about Iraq. I mean, when we're talking about China. And I think it's germane when we're talking about Ukraine. That you cannot dismiss those things. We got to go to break. So 844-967-2789. What do you say? Our phone lines are open. It's Monday. That's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And I love to hear your thought. We'll be right back.
Yeah, when we come back, let's see. Scary.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And I'll say this, Sandy, and before we go to the phone lines, I was watching 60 Minutes yesterday. I haven't watched 60 Minutes in a long time, but I was watching something, and then they showed excerpts of 60 Minutes and what was going to be coming afterwards. And there it was, a flotilla of our ships, warships. And the argument was, and the conversation was, hey, are you guys with the Navy, American Navy, are you going to be ready? I'm like, ready? Well, it seems like China has been expanding their Navy. And so are you, as the American Navy, are you going to be ready? Sure enough, the guy comes on, oh, we're preparing, we're going to be ready. Ready? What are they going to be ready for, Sandy?
Well, before the break, we were talking about Iraq, and I think the good reason for talking about Iraq is that it's one of the more recent evidences of the huge mistakes we make in foreign policy that cost a great deal of blood and treasure. Vietnam, Iraq, 18 years of Afghanistan after Al-Qaeda had been taken care of in Afghanistan. And what we leave behind is a mess. And it kind of has come out of, more recently, what it comes out of is this worldview, this view that the United States has hegemony, that the world is our sphere of influence, and no one else, no other major power is entitled to exert any kind of influence in any kind of region. And here we are talking about this with respect to Taiwan, which lies immediately offshore of China, is arguably, and not just arguably, but even technically from the U.S. standpoint, a part of China. And we're talking about going to war over it. If we don't start having a conversation about what our foreign policy before we make these awful mistakes, we are going to make a continuing series of god-awful mistakes, you know, that leave countries in a mess behind and cost us dear treasure and actually constitute war crimes. You know, the ICC has put out a warrant for the war crime that Putin has committed, which is quite specific about children in that war, but we don't seem to even do a lessons learned out of what are arguably our war crimes, which are wars that are not based on, and without a UN resolution, incidentally. Our war in Iraq was not founded on a UN resolution, which was a problem for Britain when they decided to come along with us, and has been a problem for them ever since. So, you know, we need to sober up. We need to start talking about things. We need to stop asserting that conversations about our foreign policy, if we disagree with it, are simply acts of unpatriotism that can't be talked about.
Sandy, we're not talking about getting into a skirmish with Grenada or the Philippines or Iraq or Afghanistan. We're talking China.
Well, exactly.
I mean, come on.
And we're talking China, and we're beating the drums about something, creating the problem. Essentially, you know, I've said in the past, America is such a big yin on the world stage. We don't have world hegemony, but we did have it after the fall of the USSR. We are a huge power. What we do has echo reactions from the rest of the world. And the yang is getting more and more reactive to what we do. And the fact that we are beating our breast and showing our muscles over Taiwan is definitely causing China to become more reactive and more defensive and potentially more aggressive about Taiwan.
You know, Sandy, and I see you on the phones. We're coming to you after the break. I know that there are people listening who may not agree with you and I, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking about it.
Well, we definitely should talk about it, because if we had talked more about prior things, we might have avoided the mistakes. You know, the mistake of Iraq, unfortunately, was premised on things we were told from the intelligence community that weren't true.
Intentionally.
Yeah, and we don't even understand what the intention was all about. Why did they intentionally do it, except that apparently there was maybe a memo in which the powers that be that exist behind the Green Curtain had decided that there were six countries that we needed to basically—
The axis of evil.
There's six Muslim countries that we needed to rebuild in a new form and create new governments within, and essentially governments that were much more Western-leaning. And what was that all about?
Well, you know, Sandy, part of it, I think, in the end with Iraq, my own opinion is that they were concerned about weapons being able to be moved into Iran, Iraq, right there, and created a danger to Israel.
Well, except that Iraq and Iran were deadly enemies and had killed millions of one another in a war.
That we supported Iraq.
Yeah, and was an entirely unlikely event that Iraq and Iran were going to join arms, particularly with Saddam Hussein in charge of Iraq. And it was Saddam Hussein who we decided we had to unseat.
Our ally.
Yeah, I think it was because—
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I think it was because Saddam Hussein had the gall to flip us the bird about oil rights. And
yeah.
that was enough.
Listen, Dave, I see you will come to you right after the break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Monday, and it's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
No, 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 living just a little.
This is a perfect song for what we're talking about, war. And why can't we be friends?
There's no profit in friendship.
No. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday, and Monday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go through the phone lines, and Dave from Mecklen. Good morning to you, Dave. How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Excellent. Really quickly, I agree with Sandy. The foreign policy right now is a complete disaster. And the fact
it's
that,
always been,
you know, this spring, this, let me finish, Earl. The reason why it's a complete disaster is we know there's going to be a huge offensive coming this spring, from Ukraine. They've made it very clear that that's going to happen. We're sending, like I said last week, we're giving them very good tanks, from the United States, which originally was not supposed to happen. You got the fighter jets that Poland and Slovakia are sending over now. You have former U.S. military people that are willing to fly these aircraft. So you are going to have Americans technically involved with whatever goes on in this spring. And, you know, I don't know what the Biden's end game is with all this. It has not been made clear. Obviously, Sandy has pointed out the whole issue with Taiwan is there's been drum beating and what have you, and China's made it very clear that they feel that Taiwan is a part of China. And we made it very clear, Biden's made it very clear, that he supports Taiwan and it's a democracy. So if that is the case, that is going to lead us into, I mean, I already said this to you many times. I think that this is leading us into a potential World War III, because you're lining up, Russia's lining up with China. China is certainly picking sides now. Britain is going to take our side, so is Australia and Japan and South Korea. North Korea and Iran are going to be taking sides with
Russia,
obviously,
and
with
China.
Russia. Yeah. So when you, and then you factor in all the other, Poland and Germany, they're going to be supportive of the U.S. You now got almost every major power in the world involved.
Well, and let's, and Dave,
it's one accident away from triggering a huge disaster, like you said, Sandy.
Well, Dave, and the main thing is, what are we'd be fighting over Taiwan, okay? The whole world goes to war because we have decided as a world that Taiwan's future, whether Taiwan is to be governed in the same manner that that Shanghai is governed, or whether it's to be governed in the manner in which it is currently governed, is something that the world is going to go over to war over, when all of the world, basically, other than a very few countries, have recognized the one China policy. And one China policy means only one thing. Those words are only put together for the purpose of saying that Taiwan is actually a part of China, and that Taiwan is currently ruled in a more autonomous fashion than Shanghai is ruled. However, the one China policy, which we have embraced and the rest of the world agrees to, means that it's part of China. So we'd be going to war over what exactly? And the same is kind of true. I mean, Ukraine is more of an issue in terms of being a discrete sovereign entity than Taiwan. But Ukraine is a different issue, and one in which we probably provoked or helped provoke the kind of environment and situation that led to a war. So, you know, I don't understand why this country is not willing to do lessons learned. Every corporation in Six Sigma and all the other kind of things that corporations embrace for continual improvement goes through lessons learned all the time. And our country, with respect to our foreign policy, doesn't do lessons learned at all. For instance, Iraq. We have a 20-year anniversary of something that was a total debacle. What lesson learned analysis did we ever go through with Iraq, other than the tisk-tisk about the fact that our intelligence agencies fed us a bunch of raw, incorrect information? That's it.
So let's say this. because Dave was talking about the other nations. The only ones who is pressing the issue with China and Taiwan is the United States of America. We're the ones who are getting the other nations to join sides, to pick sides. We're the ones. I don't see England or anybody else saying, hey, wait a minute. If China decides to move on Taiwan, that's worth us getting into a world war. So it's the United States that is at the root of it. And yet, I know that there are Americans who don't think, ever want to believe that we could be wrong in these situations. But Sandy, we are. And we've been wrong before. Well, but never to the degree, Sandy, of China. It's China, for heaven's sake.
Well, I think what's happening in the world today is that we're having a clash of empires. And we have to recognize that we are one of those empires, okay?
Right.
Our empirical view is this kind of world view of our sphere of influence. But China also has a sphere of influence notion. They aren't exercising their empire by actually taking over countries, but they want to exercise their economic power in their region of influence. And Russia. Russia actually exercises a far smaller sphere of influence. They have the old USSR countries that they are reflexively trying to exercise their influence over. China is an expanding economic power, soon to have all of the economic might that we do, and actually probably has more economic might in some fashion today because they are a bigger trading partner with many parts of the world than we are, okay? And being a big trading partner of someone makes a big impact. They also have a great deal of economic might in the financial world, and maybe for the last hour we'll be talking about financial issues, but China has the capacity to rain down quite a bit of financial problems in the financial community in the United States and in the world, were they deciding to exercise that kind of power.
Sandy, can you explain to me, and I was watching some guy, I forgot who he was. He wasn't an average everyday Joe like me. He was a well-respected guy in political arenas who said, China is trying to take our spot as the most influential nation on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've got to be concerned. And then I was reading, well, China is now diplomatically looking to have the dialogue with Russia to try to bring the war to an end. That's what we used to.
Well, I think China.
And why are we worried about that? Okay, why are we worried that China is trying to create the dialogue, Sandy, to end the war?
Well, I fear that our reflex of reactions in our foreign policy today about China date back to the sort of old mercantile competitiveness that existed in the world in the 1800s that led to wars that were all about economic issues. Okay, and we're beginning to act like the economic might of China is something that we ought to react to militarily, which to me, in a free market world, is a crazy view of things. That's worse than an antitrust reaction to, that's worse than a monopoly reaction to competition. That's a military reaction to competition. And yet, I talk to lots of people who say, look, what do you think the world's going to be like when China is the dominant country in the world? Well, what is the world like for everyone else when the U.S. is the dominant country in the world, number one? Number two, I don't see any reason to believe that China could supplant the United States as a world, as a country of great influence. The United States will always be a country of great influence. It's just that we might have to cede to another country
Sure.
like China,
Yeah.
another position of great influence. And they have learned some lessons from us. They have, Xi is now telling countries, look, I'm not gonna play around with your internal politics, okay? I'm not gonna tell you how to govern yourselves. I am gonna try and help you. Work on world relations between countries, regardless of how they govern themselves internally, which is actually kind of the role that the United States should play. But instead, we tend to react very greatly to how countries regulate themselves internally. But we only do that when it's convenient to some other agenda that we might have, because we don't worry about lots of countries that rule themselves in ways that we would find anathema.
You know, Sandy, I'm really interested in what the listeners have to say about the conversation we're having right now. And I'm not unmindful that many of those who are listening right now disagree with you and I, because it appears to paint America as the bad guy. And so, and I know, 844-967-2789, love to hear your opinions on what we're talking about. Because, Sandy, it's not that you and I are anti-American. That's not what this is.
No, I want us to be better than we are, okay? I want us not to make mistakes. I think hoping that our country makes fewer mistakes is a patriotic thing, not an unpatriotic thing. And I think that if we open our eyes and have discussions about these things, we'd be much less likely to make. The problem with international affairs mistakes is they are awful mistakes. They are mistakes that have huge consequences for other people as well as for ourselves. I mean, millions of other people in circumstances where we actually go to war. If there was to be a major war over Taiwan, it is assured that there would be many, many deaths that would occur, and that there would be a great deal of world turmoil that would occur, and probably great financial impact. The world has had both many deaths and great financial impact over the Ukraine conflict.
You know, again, 844-967-2789. I get it, it's Monday, but that doesn't change if what I heard over the weekend and saw again on 60 Minutes and this well-respected political pundit who was saying they're looking to take over, they're looking to take over control of what we do in the world is an issue, then I think it's serious enough of an issue that we need to, again, as a society, as individuals. I'm not looking for that. I'm sorry. I'm just not looking and not buying that we're the most powerful nation on earth, therefore we should be in charge and control everything that's happening. David is back from Mecca. And David, you say what?
I just wanted to make something clear. You mentioned something that's not accurate, where you said the United States is the only one that's going against China. Japan has made it very clear that they feel threatened, and
Japan is an extension of the Japan is an extension of the United States.
Well, okay. Well, let me.
Go ahead, Dave.
No. I just want to quickly interject. China is acting in a more hostile manner than they had been in the past. But I would assert that a great deal of that is because we have acted more hostily in terms of Taiwan, and we have stirred the pot. And there is no question, however, that China is asserting more regional hegemony over the region, its region of influence, i.e. Southeast Asia. But you're right. Japan... Go ahead. Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, and you know, they've been attacking the Philippines freighters in the water. They've been using lasers on them, and then you have the whole scenario with, you know, like I said, there's been a lot of stuff going on between Australia and China.
We just talked about 20 years.
The reason being, China was trying to. What happened was Australia cut off a lot of the minerals off to China.
We got to go to break. Hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. David, you were saying.
Yes. So Australia has made it clear they're not going to side with the United States, though, if there is a war with Taiwan. However, Australia is buying nuclear submarines, as I told Sandy last week, because there have been threats where China has been kind of been a little bit more, I guess, like an individual that is flexing their muscles, saying, hey, you know what? We'll take you out if we have to. And this has been going on for the last couple of years, actually. And so but Australia certainly would not have any capability of fighting, on its own against China. But that being said, they're trying to do what they can to protect their own country at this point, because they are a little bit worried that China could have, further bigger ambitions, according to what they've stated out of the Australian government.
Well, I think.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, but I don't think anything you've said is untrue. I just think that we have to look at cause and effect. And I think an awful lot of what's happening is essentially the self-fulfilling prophecy of the United States saying that China is going to be more aggressive, and so we have to be. And so what happens is that we are conducting joint military exercises with Japan and South Korea off the Chinese coast. We are flexing our muscle with respect to Taiwan. We are interjecting ourselves into the Chinese the South China Sea processes. And so China flexes our muscles in return to say, look, I don't know basically you could go through this line of thinking. I don't know why you're doing these things off our shore, but it certainly makes us nervous, and we want to demonstrate that we have military capability. So, for instance, last year we conducted a military exercise off of Taiwan, and 2 weeks later, China put its ships all the way around Taiwan to say, look, you're flexing your muscle about Taiwan, but incidentally, this is right in our backyard, and we can create a blockade of Taiwan tomorrow if we want to, but we aren't doing that. And so I simply say that our Yang policies are create very predictable Yang policies that allow us to then point our finger and say, see, these people are being more hostile. But you have to figure out whether it's happening in a vacuum or whether it's happening for cause, and what is the fundamental cause. I mean, China has no interest in taking over Australia. China would only be interested in taking out Australia in the circumstance in which Australia would be participating as an ally in some circumstance that directly affects China, whether that be Taiwan, whether that's an incursion into China, whether it's an effort to destabilize the Chinese government by some action from outside. But we all talk about things as if places are going to be invaded by China, right? Which incidentally has never exhibited a tendency to invade anybody. I think Nepal and Tibet at their neighbor have been the sole circumstances where there have been skirmishes, and now a little bit with India.
So but see, Sandy, this is the part of it that I think as American citizens, we see it through one prism. We see it through America's eyes and not the rest of the world's eyes. And so because we've been so powerful, all powerful, and we've grown accustomed to dictating to other nations how things are going to be, now there's some threat that we're no longer going to be the person who can control all of those things. And they're American citizens who can't get beyond that because that's all they've ever seen. And they believe that we alone are all powerful and that we are always going to be right. You know, I've looked at it from this perspective of if I was China and I saw what I'm hearing, or I'm hearing what I'm hearing, or if I'm Russia or whoever I am, if I'm North Korea and I'm hearing the things and seeing the things that America is doing all over the world, I've got to say, hey, what about our nations? We're not Americans, but we should have equal parts of what's on this globe. The globe doesn't belong to one nation. America is in the world. The world's not in America. But in this country, we see things from the perspective of the rest of the world is in America. That's starting to change.
Well, I think the problem is that if we had more discussion about our foreign policy domestically and actually were willing to question ourselves, we might actually act in a world fashion that involves correct positions rather than ones that are fraught with error, right? And the other thing is that if to the extent that we are viewed as a country willing to be a bully, well, we are a country big
enough.
Which
we are.
Well, we are a country big enough to bully anybody, okay? The only thing that can bring a country into a position where they can resist our bullying is to be have nuclear capacity so they can threaten us in a manner that is not subject to being bullying. So, you know, you can then understand why Korea might be very interested in getting nuclear capacity or why Iran might be very interested in getting nuclear capacity. And so I just think we need to look at the world with objective eyes and start to understand how much impact our policies have on other folks, and to then understand that we have to be very careful about how we flex our muscle, where we flex our muscle, and why we flex our muscle, because of the world reaction to it, but also because of what it does to us and, for instance, causes us to have an $850-plus billion defense budget that is sucking our wherewithal to actually deal with domestic issues.
Listen, we've got to go to a break, it's Monday. That's Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.